بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In just open for questions and answers. So questions will be given first and foremost to those questions that are related to the topic. So the first question is related to the issue of Salah. The question asks, can I ask my Lord for Salah? Can I ask my Lord for Salah? Or perhaps Allah will take me with a problem, with a musiba, and then I will get the test. So what is your advice?
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, yes, perhaps one can ask his Lord to make him on patience and صبر, as what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ومن يتصبر يصبره الله. ومن يتصبر يصبره الله. Who exercise sabr and practice it and ask Allah Ta'ala to provide it. You know, sabr is a blessing that's given by Allah. So you need to seek it from Allah. You need to seek. You ask Allah to make you abun taqwa. Also you ask Allah to make you abun sabr. And when you are in the musibah or the problem, then you need also to ask Allah. Yusuf alayhi salam asked Allah the sabr from falling into the sin, as what Allah Ta'ala said about him when the wife of the Aziz asked him for practicing the sin. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah to make him on sabr. Allah Ta'ala says about him that he said, Fasta'fam means he asked Allah to give him the isma, protection, which is sabr. Now, so you ask Allah the sabr, and when you are in the problem, you need to show sabr. If you don't ask Allah sabr, who's going to provide the sabr? It's Allah Ta'ala will provide sabr. Now,
the second question for the Sheikh, is it possible for a person to lose sabr due to his sins?
Is it possible
to lose sabr due to his sins?
Well, if you are asking if it is possible, that what you see it every day, it is possible. People are losing sabr. Otherwise they would not be in this kind of situation today if they have sabr. But if you are asking, if you mean by possible, permissible, I say no, it is not. It is not permissible for one to lose sabr. It is not. So you need to be on sabr. And when you practice sabr, patience, with the strangers, you will have it a normal character when you deal with your parents. But if you lose sabr there, gradually you will lose sabr even with your parents, even with your family members, with everyone. So it is not permissible, but it is possible. We see people losing sabr. But it's not permissible. No.
The question is, assalamu alaikum. Oh Shaykh, how do we learn to use hikmah with sabr when dealing with the ignorance and the problematic people? Which is Allah will say.
When dealing with everyone, you need to practice sabr. Yesterday I gave an example on how to gain sabr. And I myself went through that exercise. Alhamdulillah, people who know me before, maybe 20 years before, they can't see the change between that day and today. I was a person who has no control over sabr. From anything, I just get nervous and I make a problem. And since Alhamdulillah we started seeking knowledge, and we saw the evidences and proofs and how the ulama dealt with it, then Alhamdulillah we gradually started doing that. I said yesterday that if you are driving your car, for example, and someone overdrive you, if you hold your anger and say, Astaghfirullah, Subhanallah, this is first step and exercise. But if you responded saying, cursing him or following him, tracing him, then you are not having sabr. You are not having sabr. We said also about the husband and wife, when you go back home and you see your wife did not cook the food. So if you say, Alhamdulillah, look at this. The Prophet ﷺ used to come to his house and say, do you have any food? They say, no. He never turned to say, what's that? Why you did not tell me before that there is no food left? So I buy. He just say, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma inni sa'im. Oh Allah, I'm fasting today. This is sabr. So by this you can exercise. When you face, you start with the small problems and hold your anger and be patient. Then gradually you will see yourself, inshallah ta'ala, upon great sabr. But if you cannot control yourself in small things, you will not be able to control yourself and victims and things that comes to field of, you know, like what we see today, which is very big. But if you can't control in small things, small incidents, then yes. The ulama, for example, one of them said that, I know when I have committed a sin and Allah is not pleased with me. He said, how? He said, when my camel collapsed, I know that I have done a mistake. So he held his anger and become making sabr. Why? Because he is the cause. See, any musibah you face, it's because of you. So when you are the cause, why you lose sabr? You're the one who causes. As what Allah Ta'ala said, ما أصابك من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. So anything that you don't like and exist in your life, you need to make sabr, because first of all, you are the cause of it to be existed. Your sins made it to exist. So what you need to do? Hold your anger, be patient, and seek forgiveness from Allah. Now,
this question is in relation to a daughter who didn't have patience with her parents. She was disobedient to her mother, and then after her mother died. So the question is asking, in such a situation, how does a person seek forgiveness for this great thing?
But she didn't mention if the mother was Muslim or not. Well, first of all, this is a great field of patience. Allah Ta'ala commanded the believers to act nicely with the parents, even if the parents are kuffar. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِي عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا بِالدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي. Look at this guidance. Allah Ta'ala is telling the Muslim, if your kafir parents command you to commit and participate in a kufr action, don't respond, but don't take it as an excuse to be harsh with them and boycott them. No. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In the matters of dunya, You need to be nice with them, even if they are kuffar. No matter or regardless what kind of kufr they are upon. They are Christians, they are Yahud, they are Hindus, they are Sikhs, they are Buddhists, whatever they are. You need to be nice with them. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ And follow the way of those who repent to me. Who are they? The prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam. His father was kafir. And he telling him that he's going to stone him if he doesn't leave him alone. And the like. So he needs, and Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ Not to lose patience, even this little word, uff. In English they say, oh, what is that? Father says to the son or daughter, go and do this for me. What is that? It's not, there's nobody except me. My brother there, my sister there, why me? This is a very bad character. And Allah Ta'ala warned us from doing that, even if the birds are kuffar. What if they are Muslims? What if they are Muslims? And some says, oh, my father is, my parents are mubtadi'ah. Akhi, kuffar, kuffar, kuffar. Pure kuffar? Not only kuffar. Ibrahim's father was not a person who worshipped the idol, he was the person who made them. Make the idols. Besides that, Ibrahim was very gentle with him in calling him. He said, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. When you learn Arabic, you know these meanings. The ulama of tafsir and Arabic language, they said, there is no any word that is more soft than Ya Abati when calling your father. And they said that Ibrahim, if Ibrahim knew any softer word than this, he would have used it. So we need to act nicely with the parents, even if they are kuffar. But when they call us to participate the bid'ah or the shirk they have, we say sorry, we can't. And not in a harsh way, not you are mubtadi', you are, no, this is not the way. This is not the way. Boycott them, Eid goes, Eid comes, Ramadan comes, the Hajj goes. And this boy is with his friends, saying that they are studying ilm. And he never goes to his parents. Subhanallah. And they live in the same town. This is not the adab of Islam. These are not the adab and characters of Islam. These are something came into the Muslims. So Muslims must not be like that. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. So now after her mother died, if her mother was a Muslim, she seek forgiveness for her day and night. She gives sadaqah for her. She visits the friends of her that she used to sit to them. She has a connection with the relatives of her mother. And if the mother was kafir, she can visit the relatives, the friends of her. But no sadaqah and no seeking for forgiveness. As these two only for Muslims. But you still need to do something to your parents who died by visiting their friends. And one would say, why? This may reflect on those friends and relatives by saying, oh, this Muslim child of that man or woman, mashallah, is acting good. He's acting good. And then they ask you, why are you doing that? You say, my religion commands me to do that. Then they would think of your religion that commands good. And sometimes it works and guides. It works and guides people to Islam because what they see from the good manners and characters. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe last question.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The question asks, Is it acceptable for a young man to go abroad to learn knowledge without the agreement of his parents? وَجَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.
As this is the necessary knowledge, then yes, and the agreement is not something to exist. But if he is going to, and when we say necessary knowledge, it means you learn basics of Tawheed. You know that you have to worship Allah alone. You don't worship the walis, you don't worship the prophets, you don't worship, okay, no mediators between you and Allah. This is the basic knowledge of Tawheed. So if you have it, no. Then basic knowledge of fiqh, how to pray. You know how to pray? That's it. You cannot go abroad without the agreement of the parents. And one of the ulama of the Salaf, I forgot his name now, said that he had a mother, his father died. He said that he was talibul ilm in his town, in Khurasan. They were ulama. He got the knowledge from all of them. And then he was willing to go abroad and get knowledge of the other ulama. At that time, you know, the knowledge, when we say knowledge, it's different from place to another because it's the hadith. So he was taking the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the narration. So he wanted to go abroad. His mother said, no, I didn't allow you. So he said, and then I stayed. And I said, oh Allah, you know that I want to go and seek the knowledge. But you commanded me to obey my mother. So I'm fulfilling what you commanded me. He said, by that, Allah blessed the knowledge I have, the little knowledge I had from my own town scholars, and became, and gave him fiqh. And that's what I was discussing with Brother Yusuf today. There is a big difference between knowledge as information and knowledge as fiqh. So this man was given the fiqh. His colleagues who went abroad came back with more information. But he was known that the faqih of the place, amongst them all. Why? Because of obeying his mother. So this is not something simple. If it is, as we said, if it is something, and if it is the basic that you don't find in your town, which I doubt today anywhere in the world, that people cannot find the basics. Internet. If you get to the Baltok, if you get to the Life Salafi Durus room in the Baltok, you see the Mashaykh teaching there. And there are other rooms, sites of the Mashaykh. You can't have the knowledge, even when you are there. But if you are allowed by your parents, or if your parents are passed away, then you are free, you can go. But before that, you need to have their permission. You need to have, even if they are kuffar, again, even if they are kuffar, you need to have their permission. And I tell you one story happened to one of my students, a Canadian brother, who wanted to leave Canada and come to Saudi to seek the knowledge. His mother was, she's still Christian. She did not agree. She said, no, he cannot go. Because she had an idea that this is, you know, a place where the extremists, and, you know, they think that Saudi Arabia is like the Vatican to the Christians. So she said, no. He left her and came to Saudi. And he faced a very hard life there. Wallah. He ended up asking me, find me a mosque to stay in. He could not find a place to sit. I said to him, listen. He told me his story. So I said to him, call your mother and show her some of the nice character you got from Islam. Send her some money. Let her to feel that you changed. You're not that person. You're not Mustafa who was known before Islam, Mark. His name was Mark. You're not Mark who was known to her before Islam, disobedient, and he told me that he used to come in the house and ask for money if she doesn't give him, because he used to use drugs. If she doesn't give him, he might beat her, he might push her, he might take anything. I said, you show her that there is a change in your character and manner. And he started showing her. You know what? She told him, you have to stay in Saudi Arabia. If you want to come, you come only to visit. And then he married a Muslim sister, Moroccan sister, and every time they have a problem, his mother calls him and, you know, wash him down. You should not make her angry. You should not make her sad. You should not make her... She is defending the Muslim sister. Why? Because she had seen the difference between Mark and Mustafa. Same person. Before and after Islam. Before and after, his character changed. So, obeying the parents, and especially the mother, is very, very, very important. And it affects on you. And gives you the knowledge. As what Allah Ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah, and Allah will give you more knowledge. So where is fear Allah if you disobey your parents? Where is fear Allah? So you not have knowledge. You will end up by memorizing many things, but you don't understand anything. You don't understand anything of them. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ.